Ramble.
Welcome to Guilty Pleasures, the show that loves what it loves. Each week we talk about some of our favorite Guilty Pleasure movies and TV shows. Today we're talking about the one-of-a-kind, well, actually the one-of-eight. One-of-nine? There are a lot of spin-offs.
One-of-nine.
The original, The Fast and the Furious. What's up? I'm Zach Kornfeld, joined by Kelsey Dara and Garrick Bernard. How you feeling?
Dude, I'm going to tell the audience right now, this is going to be the best episode we have all season. All
Yes.
Until, of course, we do Too Fast, Too Furious.
And then Tokyo Drift. No, once we get to Tokyo Drift, when we get to Tokyo Drift,
you don't even know.
Oh my God. I can't even fucking wait.
I'm gonna give you a little teaser about Tokyo Drift. Me and my sister liked that.
Skip this movie. Just go forward
fuck
to three.
This movie. Yeah.
Me and my sister liked Tokyo Drift so much.
Yes.
That we convinced my father to use his retirement money to buy an SRT10 car.
Yes.
That matched the exact Tokyo Drift car.
That
red, candy red and all.
Wild. Wait, you actually did this in real life?
We really did this in real life, and he really bought the Tokyo Drift car because we could not stop talking about it, and we made him take us to the movie like 5 times.
Oh my God.
Wow, I had no idea. So, okay. In this show, we're going to break down this movie. We're going to talk about its many pleasures and its few guilts. There aren't many with this one
because
it's just pure joyride.
Rick, are you drinking?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. We have Whiskey Rick. This is like a celebratory thing. This is like you two need to talk really quickly, tell the audience about how obsessed you both are.
I want to actually pass the mic because I think that, you know, people who follow me know that I adore this franchise with all my heart. Vin Diesel is Zaddy. I both want to be him and be with him in a totally consensual,
just a
pure platonic way. That's also
sexual.
He's doing the fucking Baby Groot voice the whole time too. Hell yeah.
I have hosted a Fast and Furathon at my house where we watched every movie in a row.
When?
Wow. You were invited.
I wasn't invited.
I was definitely not. This is a full Ellen invited. Moment. You are Ellen. And I am fucking whatever her
Dakota
name is from
Johnson.
50 Shades.
I will go back into my text message.
It was a long
actually,
time ago.
Zachary, I was not invited.
Was
that's
not
true.
God damn it. I think that Garrick is the one person that I've ever met who loves this movie even more than I do.
When I watched the first one, I saved up money to get an RX-7. That's how much I love this fucking movie. Fast and the Furious is a religious experience for me. I have been in the cars since I was probably 5 years old, and I would always get like the Super Street magazines or whatever to like to be like, oh, look at all these modded cars, amazing. My dad would take me to auto shows every year, and then this movie came out, and I was like, oh
so
my
you loved
god,
it before this movie.
Oh yeah. There's a place for me. I had no idea. I was alone. I was out in the cold. You know, I was just chilling in the snow. It doesn't even snow in Los Angeles.
And you grew up in L.A.
Grew up in L.A.
That is
born
crazy.
And raised.
So this is like,
and it was like L.A. porn too. Yeah, it was L.A. porn. You're seeing all these locales that you're just like, oh man, I've driven past this street. Oh, I know those hills and shit. With the hills that he's going down in the Supra, and I'm just like, yeah.
The PCH
on PCH, Neptune's Net. The fact that they had Neptune's Net was in there was, you know, blowing your mind. But the car that Johnny Tran drives, the black one, the S2000, I have that one.
Fucking nerd.
Yeah, I mean, it's not built like Johnny Tran's, but I want it to be. Not yet.
Hit subscribe.
Exactly.
Give us a review. Help us get some sponsors so that Garrett can soup up his car.
Rick's about to be a household name. You guys know this. Tune into whatever the show's called on Insert Network at this time. Hashtag blankety blank blank. Here's the thing is like I was obsessed with Fast and Furious because my older sister was obsessed with Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
My older sister was obsessed with Fast and Furious because she liked all the guys at high school who were into cars like this. Like this movie fucking shaped a type of boy in major like metropolis cities that could like race. And I don't know if you guys know this, but Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater is like one of the premier street racing spots because we have these long ass bridges that like in the middle of the night you can right, race from side to side. So like after prom and shit, we would all go to these long bridges and watch street racing. And so this was not just like, this was like a lifestyle, baby. And it fucking shaped so many dudes' car decisions. It, I can't see neon lights without being triggered.
Yeah,
like it's so disgusting. This I hate the cars in this movie. They're so ugly. They look like bad Transformers. I'm sorry.
No. I want to say this movie made neon lights illegal in Los Angeles, in California. You cannot have underglow in your car. I'm guessing this was the movie. This was the reason.
Why can't
this
you?
Movie
Why?
Was the
What's wrong
Why
with
can't
it?
You?
I don't
it's
know.
It's dope. It makes California, everyone happy. You're driving down the
California,
street and you just see lights.
It's
like
literally
strip club
the
on
most
wheels.
Strict, the most strict state as far as like car modification.
My it's dad insane. Got pulled over when he was driving his SRT10 and a cop came up to his window and was like, your windows are too dark. And my dad was like, no, they're not. And the cop goes, yes, they are. And took his keys and keyed my dad's window.
Oh my Shut God. The fuck up.
Cops are pieces of shit, bro. I just want to put that out there as a disclaimer. They're pieces of garbage.
That's our stance across the board.
I was driving. I got pulled over because my tints were too dark. Pulled over. the window went down, and I think the only reason why I'm alive now is because my grandmother was in the car.
Oh my God, you're sweet.
My grandma was right next to me, and she just looked up, and the guy was like completely disarmed. Like, you just taking your grandma on the ride? I was like, yeah, man. Yeah, I'm taking my grandmother on the ride.
Cars.
Fucking piece of shit. Leave me
she
alone.
She doesn't get He's to like, get out often.
All right.
Wait, so Rick, explain to me more, because like in this movie, cars are they're their own character, if you will.
Yes.
Right? Like they each have their personalities and like special things. And this was like pre-Pimp My Ride. So seeing this kind of stuff on wheels literally was dope. But like, a lot of this can be illegal. Like you talking about your tint, and my dad also, that's like a thing. It's like you can't have car too tinted. And like NOS, is that a thing you can have?
No, they're all, these NOS are all illegal cars. These are all, you cannot have these cars on the street if you get pulled over. And anybody, like if an officer pulls you over and says, pop the hood, you're going to get state ref. So that's like a cop will look and say, oh, you have modified the carb. You're not under CARB regulations.
I am in such mouth agape awe because here I am thinking that I am the biggest Fast and Furious fan in the world. And I feel like I'm being bested by both of you, frankly. I didn't even know what an SRT was until this conversation started.
Oh, man,
I don't know nothing
Brian's
about
truck,
car modification.
Man.
So get ready for a lot of love.
As soon as I found out you were from Florida, Kelsey, I was going to ask you like, oh, my God, do you fuck with cars? Florida is so flat.
You don't have a choice.
Everything is flat. Everything is a fucking quarter mile down the road. It is beautiful. It is beautiful. There's no fucking regulations there. So you can just have a turbo that fucking spits out fire out the back, out the like a side exit exhaust. And you can, everybody's just gonna be like, oh yeah, that's cool. It's Florida. You have to go fuck it. Whatever. That is also a nice segue into what these movies did. Is that every time the movie comes out, no matter what the car is, there is a hike in the aftermarket sales for it. So like
no way.
The RX-7 that came out, the red car that Vin Diesel drives, you can't find those anymore.
Wow.
For
we'll
less than $20,000 probably.
All right, well, get ready for a whole lot of love while Kelsey squirts pure honey into her mouth. Let's talk the synopsis. If you don't know The Fast and Furious, you may think of where the franchise has gone, you know, basically Jason Bourne with cars, but this is actually a quaint movie. You have undercover cop Brian O'Connor, who goes to infiltrate the world of underground street racing in Los Angeles because there's some crazy drivers who are boosting what? Millions of dollars
of DVD players.
No!
Enter,
you just aged us.
I know. Enter Vin Diesel, the Don of the underground street racing world. Dominic Toretto. Nice. He loves racing and he loves Familia. And I think he's going to learn to love Brian, too. Did I miss anything in the synopsis? That's basically what the movie is. It's if you've ever seen Point Break, it's a direct ripoff of Point Break with cars.
With cars.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And for all the definite female listeners out there, it's like he's the Regina George of street car racing in Los Angeles.
Absolutely.
Which my very first question watching this was like, why is there so much drama in street? Like, forget Real Housewives, forget Teen Mom, street racing. Bitches are getting killed.
Yeah.
Over cars with sparkly lights. What is why? Right. Why is there so much beef and toxic masculinity?
Cars with anime decals on the side of it are like causing people to like get shot and killed. Anyways. It's wild. I think that that shit is true. I think that that shit, all of that shit exists. I think that they're all very much divas and they're freaking out about, oh, I gotta go and find out what this guy has under the hood and all this bullshit. I 100% believe in this underworld.
What is it, little dick syndrome? Like, it can't be that all of them have small penises, so they have to have cool cars. Is it just go
Derek
big,
is
go
sitting
far,
right
go,
here as a car fast? Enthusiast, right, and you are attacking
whip out
man.
Your dick. Whip totally out fine. Your dick. That's the only way to prove it. No, don't imagine it. Sorry.
In this movie, Dom Toretto, he is a near mythic creature, right? Where he is the king. He is the greatest racer in the history of the world. Everyone loves him. Everyone respects him. And everything in Los Angeles goes through this man. It reimagines Los Angeles as a world where everything is connected to underground street racing.
A world of crime, which is the world that I grew up in. No, not at all. I'm not even going to say that.
That's the world I grew up in.
Yeah, that's the world you grew up in, Kelsey.
And fucking...
Stealing cars? You used to steal cars?
Dude, I didn't steal them, but I was around people that participated. My first car was a CLK 350 drop top with cream leather interior seats.
Check you out.
And I took that bitch round and round. And it kind of reminds me of like what this movie really does an untouchable job at, which is playing the best soundtrack I've ever heard in my fucking life.
Yes.
This movie goes from fucking Jeezy to fucking Ja Rule to fucking Petey Pablo within 30 seconds. Bitch, I was a Petey Pablo girl for Halloween 1 year.
I was thinking, I was like, yo, what was the budget for music on this thing?
Ja Rule.
It had to be like, oh, it's probably Ja Rule. He probably got a bunch of people. He's like, oh, yo, you should do Nate Dogg. Come on, play.
Method Man, Redman, like.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so epic. But what I think balances this movie with such toxic masculinity, cars, big dick, little dick syndrome, is the love that these friends have for each other.
Yeah.
I can't wait a second longer. Let's dive into the pleasures. And let's start with Familia. I mean, kick it off, Kelsey.
Is he Italian? Is he supposed to be Italian?
They're supposed to be Latin. They're all supposed to be Latin, except for Paul Walker, of course. But they're supposed to be Latino.
What?
Yeah.
That did not read.
It doesn't read at all.
But that's why he loves Corona.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Corona definitely sponsored this movie.
They're all in East LA. The house is in East LA.
They do a really good job of like showing the culture of that like era and time frame. And bitch. This is the only thing that's going to get me up off this cough medicine right now is talking about Michelle motherfucking Rodriguez's outfits.
Yeah.
Bitch. Yeah.
She can still dress like that now. She can still dress like that now and still look like.
Where do you think Nasty Gal and Shein are getting their fucking brainstorming from? It's Fast and Furious, the 90s. They encapsulated the time so perfectly. Like the technology of the cars were so advanced, despite not even like having iPhones yet. Yeah. Like it's just the cinematography. We're talking about family. Okay. So family in this movie. They're all friends. They all grew up with each other.
God, one little fun fact about the whole family thing is that I went to a Q&A of David Ayer at USC. He went to USC and he grew up around that area. I think he went to USC. I don't know. He was giving a talk there. But he definitely grew up around the expedition and all that stuff. But he did the final rewrite of the movie. And they were trying to make the whole thing about white people, like just fully white, like just. And he was like,
"Who's they? The studio?
The studio? Yeah,
of course. And they wanted white boys,
right? And that's where they're like, okay, can the and of course that's where Paul Walker came from. But David Ayer pushed back, and he was like, guys. If you're going to have like illegal street racing, it has to be like, it cannot be white. People from the Valley. No.
He was not only like, not only are we going to have like the most blonde haired, blue eyed little bitch in the movie, recipes, I love you, Paul Walker, but he's going to be the fucking literal rat. He's literally going to be the rat.
He's going to be the police. Cause that's the only way that person would exist in this world.
Yeah. This is what I texted my sister, because like I said, we were both so obsessed with this movie, is I was like, now that I know script, like format and like good movie structure, this is a fucking phenomenal
screenplay. It's a tight ass script.
It's a good movie.
It's such a fucking tight script. It's straight through 90 minutes. I don't need any fluff of anything. Like
in my notes, I wrote, this is a good script. I wrote that.
It hits all of the beats.
Like we know the lore, like it's classic now that Brian's a cop, he's undercover. But that's a twist. That is revealed as the first act break. And I'm watching this and I'm like, oh, like I can't, I transported back to myself in theaters and I literally went, oh damn, it's cool.
There's that moment, and then there's the moment where he blows his cover, where he has to betray his friends in their face and be like, listen, I gotta save your lives, so I gotta say that that shit echoes in my mind. This is Officer Brian O'Connor. I will never forget that moment. It gives me chills every time.
Listen, here's the crazy thing, though, is like, what we forget is this familia / Latin / Italian family having barbecues and Coronas on the weekends together have known each other since the first grade. They talk about how they all grew up next to each other in the street. Like that kind of like gang is like unbreakable. Mm-hmm. Brian infiltrates and finds a way in there in a week's fucking time. We forget that the timeline of this movie is one motherfucking week. Right.
He kept on giving him the ticking clock, the FBI director.
He's like, you have 2 days. You have 30 hours tonight. And I was like, wait, okay, we did speed that up just like a little too quickly for my liking, but I believed the friendship. I believed it.
Okay, we have to talk about the star of the show, the defining man of the
Paul
franchise,
Walker's
Vin
eyes.
Diesel. Paul Walker's eyes are so beautiful.
Good God. I remember where I was when I found out he died. I was getting ready to go on stage at Flappers in the Yoo-Hoo room. And then somebody walked over to me and told me and said, hey, Paul Walker just died. And like, I was like, I don't even want to do the show anymore. I want to leave. I want to go home. This guy is my childhood.
You couldn't be in a worse like performance space too, to then have to go to the fucking Yoo-Hoo room.
The Yoo-Hoo room and just go in and fucking bomb for like 40-year-olds that don't even know what comedy is. Jesus Christ.
But there's something like to be said also when Dom does reveal that he like watched his father burn alive in a car crash, that I'm like
horrified.
This man has so much trauma that no one like acknowledges. It's no wonder he wants to like put his penis in a tailpipe this whole movie.
We need to set up Vin Diesel, Dominic Toretto. I would say he is not a man in this movie, and like the way that he is introduced, he is a mythic figure. He is,
he's like a wraith, you know, like just something that you tell your kids at night.
And he knows it. The way that he's performing, the way that he poses, he is the world's greatest racer. He is a sex god, irresistible to women everywhere. There's a literal line that says he's like gravity. Everything gets pulled into him.
I want that in my on my tombstone.
Put that shit on my tombstone. Put it on my tombstone.
Yeah.
How he's introduced. Is Paul Walker goes into this shop and you just see Vin's back and the power that he has from the first frame. It is he is irresistible.
And the first scene that we're introduced to him in is him breaking up a fight between one of his boys. Don't even care what his name is. Truly don't care if he's his alive name was or like, exists. Travis.
Tommy.
Yeah, something with like a T. Whatever. Yeah. And with Paul Walker, because they're fighting over Mia, the hottest motherfucking bitch that's also Dom's sister. And Vin Diesel comes in and breaks up this fight between like two pit bull of men and throws him on top of a car and is like, chill. And the other guy comes in and the most aggressive yet panty dripping moment is when he turns around and is like, take it easy. You embarrass me. And I crawled into a little ball in the corner of my room like a little dog that just got fucking sprayed by a fucking sprayer because I was so weirdly horny and terrified of him in that moment.
You know what's even more embarrassing? I would say you embarrass me because you just yelled out the exact amount for a fat burger meal. He said 279 or some shit. It's like, how often do you go to Fat Burger, you piece of shit?
I almost wrote that down. Okay, hold on. We need to break this up. Okay, so, okay. Paul Walker wants to fuck Mia. Mia obviously has a history with Travis/Tom. We don't know.
He wants to fuck Mia to infiltrate Vin Diesel's.
Yes. Well, no, and also because he loves her, not because
he likes her.
You think that's why?
In the beginning, he didn't love her.
Wait, in she the beginning, you think you're kidding? You think
no,
from
I
the
absolutely get, no, for a fact.
Oh my God.
Why was he there, Kelsey? He was there for Dom. He was there because of what? He didn't go because he loved her.
He worked
he
at
found
Harry's.
That he loved her. He found.
He worked at Harry's.
Work at Harry's. Harry's was a cover.
Yeah.
I know, but I'm saying he had an in through the
oh,
you're blowing my
that's
fucking
fair.
Mind right now.
That's fair. Wait, oh shit, I'm on both sides of it. I'm on both sides of this because that's one of my gripes with the film is that they weren't too clear about people's relationships and how they like really felt, and that could have been a performance thing.
Wow.
But you're so right. He could have, Kelsey, on your side, he could have just kept working at Harry's and then talked to Dom that way.
This is fucking with me now. Okay. I need to like take a step back because that's fucking with my entire like vision of his character.
I'm gonna give
now.
You a second. There's so many places
like
I want to go,
but so to finish up the fat burger conversation, he's trying to fuck Mia. Homeboy Travis comes out and like starts a fight with him by saying, "You're not gonna come back to this restaurant because you keep coming back to talk to Mia and get the tuna fish sandwich. Instead, you should go to Fat Burger because you can get a double cheese with fries for $2.99 and then punches Paul Walker.
What a way. Who like
this man had like chains tatted across his chest, and that's what he yelled across the parking lot.
I think he had a transformative, you know, life or something like that, where he used to be a little heavier, and that's okay. But he just, you know, he wanted to get a little strong so he can pull off these jobs and all that
he's
stuff.
He's poor,
you know. So $2.99 at Fat Burger, that's a good
hell
deal.
Yeah. That's that'll a great deal.
Of course, he's poor. He's spending all of his money on NOS.
True. So whenever I mod my car. My buddy that
whenever you what your car mod You have to use the full terminology with this.
Jesus, not we're in a car podcast now. You gotta get with the
we're in a car. We're in a full car podcast.
Go guzzle your honey, Kelsey.
No,
we're deep into it. Whenever I do shit to my car, like put modifications onto my car, my buddy who helps me like put stuff on, he'd be like, oh, is it a ramen night? Because he jokes, so he's like, oh, you're just gonna be eating Top Ramen. For like a couple nights or some shit like that.
It's expensive.
It's very expensive.
They're doing these races for like stacks. I mean, like every scene of a new character coming in with a car holds their stack of money in a different way, rolled up, folded in a business case. Like these races go anywhere from like $2,000 to like what? What's the most? 20 in this?
Cars.
One?
They're betting cars in this movie. And so Ryan loses his first race. And owes Dom like a 10 second car, which I don't know what that means. But
the race is 10 seconds long.
So it is in a quarter mile.
Jared's like, you rang?
Oh, okay. Here I am.
It takes 10 seconds to complete the race.
A quarter mile, a good time is in the 10 second range. So like if your car is like 10.8, 10.7 or something like 100 meter, the 100 meter dash, that's a quick-ass car. If you're sub 10, that car is like, that's probably one of the faster cars that you could imagine. I think that like a Tesla, one of the Performante, the Tesla Performante or whatever performance or the all-wheel drive one does it in like 11 seconds. And the 0 to 60 time in those is like 3.2 or some shit like that. But it still does a quarter mile in like 10 or like 11.
Wow, I'm learning so much.
And that is like one of the quicker cars that you can buy now.
We're never going to talk about the movie. We're just going to talk about cars.
No, I was going to bring it in because I think what this movie did do a good job of was that it found a way to encapsulate all different kinds of audiences. Like it had the love story set up in the first 10 minutes, which was hot.
I mean, hello.
That relationship was stunning. I loved it.
They also have better chemistry than Mary Jane and Spider-Man in The Amazing Spider-Man.
Don't call them out. Oh, I thought you were going to say Bella and Edward. A throwback to our first episode.
It was good. It was a good relationship.
But it also had like the nerdy car culture with that other like whiz kid, Jesse or whatever, who had ADHD. We had mental health representation in there. Hello?
That was such a touching moment. Where he's just like, why aren't you at MIT or something? And he's like, I can't pay attention. I can only pay attention to cars.
I could quote this whole movie easy. We could do a live reading right now.
I fucking love this goddamn movie. I haven't been able to like really talk about it since coming on this podcast. Honestly. This is the movie, not like the one that I watched the most.
Toy Story 1 or No, what's the one you're always bringing up here? No, Upgrade. Not neither of those.
No, Chronicle.
That one. I refuse to watch it. That will be like our 1 year anniversary one because I refuse. But can we talk a little bit about like the representation in this movie too of like different cultures? Like the villain unfortunately is of Asian descent, who plays stereotypically into like the sort of short skirt car world, but I realized his last name is my internet went out but now I'm back.
Welcome back, Kelsey.
Oh my god, really quickly, can I tell you something funny? Miles, you can edit this out. I was on a phone call today with my new financial planner guy, and he's like really smart, so I was trying to impress him, and in the middle of our phone call, my fucking mini fridge that I just put in my office, I accidentally sent to hot instead of cold, and it heated up cans of soda so hot that they fucking exploded in the middle of my call.
Oh my
god. And it made a boom so loud that it shook my computer, and the finance guy was like, what the fuck was that? And I was so embarrassed to tell him what it actually was that I looked outside of my window and I went, I think a bomb.
That is crazy.
I think a bomb went off.
That is such a worse lie.
He'd
be like, I have to go.
That's so bad. That's like, you got to take improv class after that one.
So bad. And I just kept going. I was like,
it's a bomb. Bomb went off.
I don't know. You know Hollywood. Fucking. Okay, anyway, sorry.
I have a question. This is a guilt and a pleasure. So my guilt here is that I don't really know that the women in this movie are real characters.
Yeah, they have no agency at all.
They're like Jordana Brewster, love her to death. I actually have a lot of really great things to say about her. We'll get to her. But my pleasure is that they are all surrogates for what is the most wonderful gay relationship in cinema history. Fast and Furious is one of the absolute gayest movies of the 2000s. It is a love story between Vin Diesel and Paul Walker, and they are using cars as a way to consummate their love. Every time they race, it is them fucking in glee and delight. And Paul Walker dating Vin Diesel's sister is just a way for him to love Vin. It is their love story.
I'm gonna jump in here, Zach. Listen, man. It is extremely gay. Like, okay, so it's tense, bro. Like, it's whenever I meet somebody that is that has a nice car, that is into cars, and it's a dude, I'm like, yo, dog, let's just go to Vegas, bro. Like, I'm ready. One time I was driving my car, and I was going into the post office. And I parked and my meter went out because it was there for a little bit longer than I expected.
Oh, I know where this
I came
going.
Out the parking
maid
was walking away from another guy, and I was like, yo, what's going on? And I looked at his car, and he had the same car, but it was more modified than mine was, and he paid for my
meter.
Ticket or paid for my meter because he saw that we had the same car.
Wow.
When I tell you I will fuck this man, I like there's no other dog. Like, we talked for like 20 minutes and I was just like, yeah, this is the one. Yeah, bro. Like, whatever. It doesn't matter.
There's something about cars. It's a beautiful love story between two men who just won a race. And I genuinely think that they have a beautiful relationship in this movie. I believe it. And I want them to be together.
No, I think they're friends in real life, like that hard too. Like, I believe if Paul Walker was still alive today, there would be, rumors.
I know when they passed, like, that one hit the whole franchise. Like, all of them. They're like, oh my God, this is... Because he was also the only reason why they all came back.
Yeah, and why, you know, the franchise...
Because he signed on first.
I don't even want to talk about The Rock. I can't. We'll have to save that for when we do the rest.
Save it for another movie.
Ruined the family.
But like, here's what I was going to say when you were talking about like bro car romance culture is like, it's, you know, it's a Dungeons and Dragons thing. It's a Harry Potter thing. It's like whatever like your stan thing is. But what I liked about this movie is that it gave like realness to crime and, intense driving scenes being believable because in every other like crime or fucking action movie, just so happenedly the star knows how to fucking drift and drive under a semi, and it's like, no, bitch, you did not take that FBI training. These motherfuckers, this is really where they should be scouting from, as they do in the film. It's like, you really should be getting street racers to do your baby driver stuff.
When you said the action is surprisingly realistic and quaint, and I mean look there's some crazy shit in here, like cars flip like nuts and people get out with little scratches on their forehead, but it is mostly realistic compared to where the franchise went in a way that when I was watching it I was like, oh, this is cute.
I miss you bringing up semis, like they had to put fucking shit underneath semi trucks because people kept driving underneath semi trucks because they were watching the movie. So
is that a real thing? Because that's the coolest trick in this movie. They are obsessed with that trick. They drive their car perfectly under a semi truck.
Truly,
they started that trend.
That happened in real life. Thing.
They started that trend.
And Fear Factor did it too. Fear Factor did it after Fast and Furious did it. They had fucking human beings drive under a semi like that.
I mean, yeah, I want to do that.
It's very possible. Most cars are low enough. So many people were driving under trucks and they're like, we can't.
But you know why?
Anymore,
because that was a real stunt. Like, that was no CGI, no fucking animation, claymation. Yeah. That was fully a real stunt, and this movie brings that, and we lose that completely moving forward.
Yeah.
Was this a cultural reset?
You know what? Maybe. Maybe. Huh. I don't know.
I don't really know the definition of that, but I've heard it said before, and I've always wanted to use it in a sentence.
No, it wasn't.
It does actually feel like it created its own sub-reality, because the clothes that they're wearing, like, what they are positing as cool was never actually mainstream. It sounds like it was in Florida. But, like, they put their own universe on screen that never... It didn't go anywhere else. It didn't come from anywhere else. It is purely confined racing, to this franchise. Baby.
Like, it was about racing, and then the crime was, like, sprinkled on top. And then they took it, the franchise, in a direction that was, like, all crime, little bit of car. It like, reversed itself, and no pun intended, but I don't think I liked that about it. It kind of took away, like, now every screenplay moving forward was about this big adventure and, like, having some shocking,
like,
twist.
Heist thing.
Yeah, this was not heisty, yeah, even though it was. Gradually,
yeah, just gradually going into the guilt, I guess, but... Yeah, once it got away from, like, the street racing stuff, I was less enthused about it. Although the fifth one is a perfect fucking movie.
Oh, you're just talking about the franchise?
It just got annoying. Yeah, when the franchise moved away from
I don't know.
It lost its, like,
you there, but we should save that for another day.
I'm going to say this without being ironic, and please no one make fun of me because I know how I sound, but it lost its swag. After one, the clothes.
It turned into a Mission Impossible.
Yeah, it got too.
It wasn't like studio. It wasn't like this VHS chic. I loved, I put that in my notes. So I was like, I love this VHS film over it. Like,
yeah.
I love how shitty it looks. I'm like, yeah, man.
And speaking of
a cardboard DVD box.
How it looks, like, I will never forget the first time seeing that shot of when the race starts and the fucking camera zooms into
zooms through
the car.
All of everything.
So that will be my last pleasure, I will say, is like that shot was very pleasuring. Oh, wait, one more pleasure.
We've gotten to none of my pleasures. I've got so many. I've got
me and Rick have just been like kind of.
Please.
But can I say my last pleasure?
I'm so sorry.
My last pleasure is when Ja Rule screams, "No, Monica!"
Monica!
Me and my sister used to scream that to each other.
Good.
That was bigger than "Oh, Kelly Clarkson." Yeah. Like, remember, "Oh, Kelly Clarkson."
Right.
That was like our version of "Oh, Kelly Clarkson" before social media was a thing. Yeah. It was like, "No, Monica!" But you have to have like the...
So good.
Okay, now my pleasures are done.
Guys, a huge pleasure that I cannot believe I almost forgot. This movie has a post-credit scene. The year is 2001. This is before Iron Man. This is before the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Vin Diesel knew that he was making a franchise from the very first second. He was Marvel before Marvel, and the way that this movie ends, it is begging, it is demanding for it to continue, which is rare in this time of filmmaking.
Tell them what the scene is. That's so... It's
nothing.
The reason why you don't remember it is because it doesn't fucking matter. It's just setting it up for a sequel.
Oh.
It's literally just him driving in Mexico and going, "I live my life a quarter mile at a time. When I..."
Yes.
"When I drive, it's just me and the road."
That was him going, "This is now my franchise, not Paul Walker's. This is now mine."
The acting in this movie is unbelievably top-notch. Mm-hmm. I'm talking Greek top drama, tier. Shakespearean, heavy
believed
drama.
It all.
Preach.
Vin Diesel is an actor with like three O's and 17 R's.
Also, not that bad of a singer.
He's a pretty good, got some good Rihanna covers.
He's got a good Rihanna cover.
You're so right, though. I believed every single character, even the crazy kooky ones, which this does, like the street racing with like the baggy pants and like whatever you're bringing to the table. I was like, yes, that exists. I've seen that person before. And you're so right, because not once did I stop to think about the acting. And that is good acting.
Well, I was like, watching like, holy shit. Because, okay, you think of Vin Diesel as like this cheesy action star now. But first of all, he was discovered by Spielberg. That's how he got his start. He was in Saving Private Ryan. Beautiful. He is good in this. The moment, yeah, he was. He made a short film that was like a festival darling. And Spielberg cast him in Saving Private Ryan. That's how he got his start.
I did not know that.
The moment that you referenced earlier, Garrick, where he finds out that Brian betrayed him, the pain in his eyes.
Yeah, in his face. Yeah.
It's familia.
Truly, truly heartbreaking, where he's just like, no, what? No,
come on. Do it again. Do it again.
And then he's like, I'm going to beat his ass.
He says so many words. I mean, he has a full monologue silently.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I can hear every word that is going through his head, and he doesn't utter a word. He just stares.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
And the studios really fucked him up, because now when I think of Vin Diesel, I don't even, first of all, think of Fast and Furious. I think of, like, bad action hero movies where he's, like, blind and they give him, like, new eyes. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Whoa.
What is that one?
We will take no Pitch Black slander.
Are you talking about Pitch Black right now?
None of that,
Are you talking about Pitch Black right
now? Why are you kidding me? You're trying to walk into my house and you're going to slander Pitch Black?
You cannot talk about Butcher Bay right now. Are you fucking
kidding me? I've never even seen it. And I'm never going to. I will say that.
We will make you
right now.
That is a sci-fi cult classic, and honestly one of
the better. But my point is, that's what I think of when I think of him now. Because look at what like the studio has done to him. Is they've pinned him into this like alien strength character. When I'm like, no, I knew him when he was in a wife beater, and we can't even say that word anymore. Yeah. That's how long I've known him.
That's crazy. But also, it could have been him, you know, like in his Rock's contract. Yeah. They can't lose a fight in the movies. It's like, are you out of your mind?
I did not know that either.
Like, what's wrong with you?
I mean, it's not just Vin. I think the whole cast is killing it. Like, Jordana Brewster, she kind of sucks in later movies through no fault of her own, just the material given to her. But she's great in this. I believe her. I care about her. I am heartbroken for her. Like, I fully emotionally invested in this movie in a way. Okay, I'm going to admit something.
Oh.
My love for Fast and Furious really is partially an ironic love that became a genuine love. Like, I couldn't believe that it got good at 5. Like, it got so popular at 5, and I just couldn't believe it, and I love it for that. But revisiting this movie, I'm like, nah, there's a heart there. Yeah. There's a core, I love them for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first movie was just... Yeah. The 90s. There's no like, if I were to say, what's a good thing that encapsulates the 90s?
Fast and Furious.
Just watch Fast and Furious. Watch Fast and Furious. Look at all those goofy decals on the side of their car. And it's like, there you go. You got
like
it.
DVD the players. Shoes, the go fucking sunglasses, like the jewelry, everything about it was so spot on without being like caricature-y, you know, like not costumey at all.
Right.
It was just so believable. And like, that's what I liked about this movie is there were ugly people in it. Like, yes, they made like the Asian villain guy, like the chiseled stereotype. That's like, okay, yes, they're guilty of
that. But his number two?
Yeah.
Not hot.
Not great.
You know, there were some funny looking motherfuckers in this, which made me go like, thank you, not Hollywood, you know?
We've been kind of jumping back and forth between guilts and pleasures, but specifically, any guilts in this movie, things that made you go, oh, this is a guilty pleasure.
I do think that there needed to be more Vin and Paul.
Who just unzipped their pants?
I did. Because I'm talking about the relationship, so of course I'm gonna masturbate. Are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? It's game time.
No. The microphone picked that up so subtly, just and I was like,
you guys can't see my bottoms for a reason.
God.
No, I do think that they could have like. Him letting him go at the end was not earned enough for me personally, watching back.
Hot take.
Because like there was that one scene where he was just like, oh, this scares the shit out of me, or anything like that. Like the car is scary, mm-hmm. and my dad died and all that stuff. But that's one scene. I think if they did like, you know, more scenes with them, or
you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind.
Hung on it a little bit more.
You're
out of
your fucking mind. The whole movie is Brian earning respect from Vin Diesel. That is the entire movie. I felt that in every sentence he spoke.
Right.
More alone scenes. They have a sun. They have a fucking sunset Malibu fucking seafood scene together of like,
yeah,
letting you in on my deepest, darkest secret. What more did you want?
Okay, but that's one way.
I'm pissed.
I'm thinking of the other way for Paul Walker, where he was just like, are you getting native on me? And that was the relationship his captain was. He's like, you're getting native on me or whatever. That was a relationship with him and the girl. And it's just like, oh, that makes sense. Uh-huh. But him letting Vin Diesel go didn't really for me like as much, because like it's for him, his decision.
But once again, there is no Jordana Brewster in this movie. Mia is not real. Mia is Vin Diesel's extension, and so every scene that he has falling in love with Mia, he is falling deeper and deeper in love with Dominic Toretto. And so the entire movie, the A and the B story, is about Brian falling in love with Dom. That's it.
Okay. I'm so glad we finally made room and space for the women in this film, because God knows the fucking writers did not. I will say my biggest guilt, and I'm going to be careful how I word this, is that poor Michelle Rodriguez Letty is in the most fucked up relationship with Dom I have ever seen. We've all been there. We've all been that bitch who's like the neighbor girl who knows him better than everyone else, who lets him fuck up time and time again, and always always come home and they give me a massage while we go upstairs. Like, I appreciate that they gave such realness to such a fucked up relationship, but it was fucked up. Like, she does not get to serve him at all. It was so unbalanced. It was him fucking bitches and digging her over. She never, like, she's so sad.
One of my favorite scenes in the movie, because it went, the movie is not full camp the way that the franchise becomes, but there is one scene that just goes all the way, and it is a police raid under heavy rock music that is intercut with a very sudden Vin Diesel, Michelle Rodriguez sex scene.
Wow. Yeah.
They are like all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she comes up to him, he rips his shirt off, and they are fucking in a garage, intercut with a police raid. It is sweaty. It is disgusting.
So much sweat.
I loved every second of it.
It's sex and violence, man. That's all it is. It's just like,
power.
How can we mix the two? Let's just, you know, sex sells, violence sells. Let's put both of them in a fucking montage.
That was their climax, literally. Like, they were like, fuck this. Let's just put, you're so right. It's like, what goes good with cars and what else? It's like, bitches, fucking oil, sweat, raids, SWAT costumes.
Like, when they're putting the post-its up for this movie, and they're just like, what are the scenes we need to hit? One of those scenes was fucking in a mechanic shop.
Oh, yeah.
fucking in a shop, and somebody's like has soot on them or whatever the fuck.
Do you think you could get through an entire movie without Vin Diesel, sex god Vin Diesel, not getting some? You can't have a whole movie without that. That's his character. He is a sex god. A guilt for me, you know, look, this is a street racing movie, but this movie finds excuses to put races about every 20 minutes, and then it seems to accelerate towards the end of the movie, where they just do a couple races back to back for shits and giggles that, like, kind of have stakes, but not really. Okay, there's one scene where they stop at a red light next to a rich dude in a Ferrari on the PCH, and it turns into a street race. They don't need a street race there. So there's just, maybe too many for me.
Okay, Zach, let me tell you, I gotta tell you a little war that's been happening.
Did you just hear what he said? He said there were too many race scenes in Fast and Furious.
There are too many race scenes in Fast and the Furious.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's so disrespectful.
Yeah.
I think there aren't enough race scenes. because there, again, with that whole thing with the Ferrari, there is this secret war between built versus bought. There's always about, oh, there's, you know, built, not bought. You'll see like a banner on some modded dude's car that says built, not bought, because they just want to show off that they put in the wrench time, which they then said in this movie, that they didn't go out and follow and find a brochure or whatever, and pick up a car and say, oh, I can drive fast. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you just bought your car. Cool. Good for you. You didn't do shit to it.
You're saying that by showing so many like mechanical racy parts to the show, they're really leaning into the like culture of we're better than you because we can mod a car to an illegal form.
Because I can engineer a quicker car and you can just throw money at one.
Why,
you
know? But why does car equal masculinity power?
I have no idea. I've never understood that one.
Well, clearly, because you keep buying fucking cars and modifying them.
I know it's a boyish thing to do, but I don't have a reason why. I just like it.
You know what's crazy is I'm actually, look, we came in here as one familia in love with Fast and Furious, but I think I'm picking up on a divide because you guys like the grounded Fast and Furious, whereas to me, I get really tickled once it goes off the rails.
No.
I like it when and I guess that for me is just all the races, they have a repetitive nature because in this, they're not like flying through the air yet. They're not jumping off cliffs. Mm-hmm. They're not superheroes. Mm-hmm. And that to me is that's like the special sauce that I really get off on.
Yeah. No, insane. I think you're hitting on something that like, you like the sparkle and glitter. Rick and I are much more like grit and dirt people.
Yeah.
Like,
I want the cars to be like dirty and rusty. Yeah. You know, like that scene where like with the orange Supra where he pulled up in the driveway and it had dust on it. I was like, oh yeah, there it is.
There it is.
That's
open,
what I'm fucking talking
open
about.
Open the hood, baby. Look under
open
the
hood. Open the
it's
hood.
It's about what's on the inside. Zach is all material. He is exterior aesthetic, appearance.
So the scene in the second movie where it opens up, the opening scene, and Brian comes through with the Skyline, the R34, are you out of your mind? And he has the nitrous purge coming out of the side. He comes out in a white t-shirt and he's just like, yo, what up? I'm Brian. What's going on? That is what I aspire to be.
Damn.
Every fucking time I want to roll into a parking lot, you know, blow nitrous purge out of the hood and just get out of the car and be like, what's up,
Hector? I hate to tell you this. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you are so far from that dream.
I know. I know.
So far.
No, it's fair.
Miles.
It's 100% fair because... I'm not blonde. I can't.
Not,
I can't pull
not
that.
Not right
on.
Now. You could so
I think you
pull,
could pull
blonde.
It off.
Are you out of
I would
mind?
Love to see that.
No,
dude.
God, no.
All right.
God,
if this
God,
gets 200,000 listens, we.
What's your one fix for the movie? Rick's corner of one fix for the entire movie. Professional writer.
Give Brian more of a reason to let him go. Not like let me rephrase what I said before, where I said that they need to develop their relationship more or whatever. But Brian needed a reason to let him go.
He loved
him. It was more so he loved his sister, and that was cool. He saved their lives, and that was cool. But
what?
Why did he let Vin go? You know,
so
other
you
than,
don't have an
oh,
answer.
I just like it. What's up?
You don't have an answer, you're saying. Like, you don't feel confident being like, he did it because of this?
Yeah.
Wow, you're...
I think it's just that... there was that one scene where he broke down. He's like, my dad died, and this, and I beat somebody with a wrench and all that stuff. And it's like, okay, cool. Because
he's familia.
Yeah, I feel like Rick doesn't understand familia is what I'm getting at.
I feel like familia is a foreign term.
Because when you get familia...
If I knew somebody for a week?
No, not just somebody. If you knew Familia for a day, okay. You know what okay. I would do for you, Rick? I would die for you.
Okay.
From the second I met you, I said I would go to prison for this man.
If this video gets 100,000 views, we will get Familia Guilty Pleasures merch with our three faces on it.
I thought you were going to say tattoos. I was so
serious. I'll get a Fast and Furious tattoo, no problem. But if this gets 100,000 views, we'll have Familia merch.
Well, a perfect movie. Before we wrap up, I do have some fun facts that I think are going to rock your goddamn world. Every fun fact we've done in other episodes has just been a tease. This is the first movie that actually has incredible trivia. Oh, I'm going to blow your goddamn mind.
Okay.
Dominic Toretto, before it was offered to Vin Diesel, was offered to Timothy Oliphant, who turned down the role.
Who the fuck
Mr.
is that?
Mr. Justified himself. How dare you? He's awesome. Vin Diesel took a bit of persuasion after several script changes had to be made to make the movie up to his standards, which is something that continued for the rest of the franchise. He is an extremely... let us say, specific man.
No way.
Before Paul Walker was cast, actors that were considered included Mark Wahlberg, Christian Bale, and Eminem. Can you imagine?
Wait, imagine.
Eminem?
imagine Mark Wahlberg saying, "Don't worry about it, cuz." Like, in the second movie. Don't worry about it, cuz.
Dude.
Like, a terrible way.
Imagine Eminem and Vin Diesel having a fucking stare off at each other.
Yeah. Oh, that's power.
Yeah.
It is hard for me to get past the Mark Wahlberg of it all. It's like, "Hey, Dominic Toretto, I'm here for some tuna. That's I'm just trying to be a good guy."
My brain won't allow it.
I love that. So, okay. Even better, Mia, before it was Jordana Brewster, they wrote the role for Eliza Dushku, who passed it. Feels very right in my mind.
Yes.
But listen to this all-star cast who auditioned for Mia and got rejected. Okay.
No.
I'm going to go in reverse order of shock to me.
Okay.
Jessica Biel.
Okay, sure.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, that's unique.
Kirsten Dunst.
No.
And Natalie Portman.
No.
Yeah.
Natalie Portman.
She would have knocked that shit out of the park.
Again, this is going back to him being like, no, it cannot be white people.
It can't be hot.
You have to have, it's just like, don't keep forcing these people into this world. It doesn't make any sense.
Because Mia was fucking hot, but she was a real person hot.
She's real.
Right. Yeah.
That is
like, you
insane.
Know, if I saw Natalie Portman drifting around in fucking like K-Town, I'd be like, get this.
She doesn't even drive her own car. She doesn't. There's no way she drives a car. She has drivers. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I'm probably one of the bigger Natalie Portman fans in the world, but I
can't see.
It's hard for me to say I'm glad she's not in this because I think it'd be so fun to see her in a Fast and Furious, but not the right role. I'll have her as a villain in 10. If we could get Natalie Portman as a Fast and Furious villain, all on board.
I was just going to ask, is there a 10th one coming?
Oh yeah. And they're going to space.
It's happening.
Elon Musk.
They're going to space.
Fucking
Elon Musk
two more fun
is making
facts
that happen.
Two more fun facts that shocked me. This one really did surprise me because I don't know why, but Vin Diesel and Michelle Rodriguez were actually dating off screen while
filming
this movie.
Mm-hmm. Knew that because everyone thought she was a lesbian. Mm-hmm. There's Kelsey's Corner outing celebrities. She bi. She bi.
And of course, my favorite fact that we've ever had on this show, the Volkswagen Jetta that Jesse drives in the movie was later purchased by Frankie Muniz.
Yes. Frankie
Malcolm
Muniz.
Malcolm in the middle.
Frankie Muniz can drive. He tried to do IndyCar, I believe. He was a semi-pro race car driver.
Wait, you happen to just know this?
Yes.
I never thought I would hear the sentence, Frankie Muniz can drive.
Frankie Muniz can drive.
Frankie Muniz could have played Jesse, and I would have been okay with it.
Yes.
He identified Frankie with him Muniz. Hardcore.
Well, let's wrap this up. I mean, it's evident that we can talk about this movie forever. Yeah. We will talk about this movie after this is done recording. And I look forward to watching every single one of these with you guys on this show. Mm-hmm. But now it is time for the end. The final word. Mm. Is this movie a pleasure? Now it is time to wrap it up for the final word. Is this movie a guilty pleasure, a pleasure, or just a guilt? Who wants to kick us off?
I mean, mine is obvious. This is such a masterpiece and a pleasure. There's not a single thing guilty or done wrong except for the few things that I named and I'm willing to overlook because it gave us this. So pleasure, pleasure, pleasure.
100% a pleasure. It is the easiest pleasure that we've had on this show. There is no in-betweens. It is just a tight film, much like the film Upgrade that everybody should watch.
Stop it.
I can't.
Stop.
I really can't.
I fucking can't keep up with your weird fucking films.
I think it dabbles with guiltiness a little bit, but I did pull up to see it has a 53% on Rotten Tomatoes, and that's fucked up.
Which is disrespectful.
That is criminal. It is disrespectful.
Disrespectful.
I laughed. Familia. I cried. I felt it's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure.
We got a triple P, baby. This is our first triple P.
Not to be confused with triple X.
Or triple DP. I'm on cough syrup. Don't forget. I've had a sinus infection this entire time.
Oh, she's on. Kelsey's on codeine, baby.
I'm sipping that.
Kelsey hasn't been right since 5 o'clock.
No, I'm Lil Wayne's protege.
Yes, sir.
No, take it away from me.
Garrett and I are both high on Vin Diesel, so, you know.
Yeah, we are.
Life's good.
Yeah.
Go watch this. Look, watch it as a singular film. Don't watch the rest. Just watch this one.
How dare? No, I can't. I cannot take this slander. We are watching every single one of these, and guys, it gets even better. I cannot believe. Here I was on your team. I cannot believe that you do not think that this franchise goes to incredible places. This is not my favorite in the franchise. That's what I'm gonna say. That's what I'm gonna drop for you at the end here.
Wow.
Not even.
Wow.
Not
Rick
even.
Just
I don't know if it's my top three.
I just yawned at it. I just yawned at it. I was so mad. I'm so mad.
I don't think this is top three.
We should watch.
That's how I express anger.
Top three, Zach?
I don't think it is. I think that this is number four. Maybe five.
What?
Rick, do you want to sign off? I feel like we should just leave the chat.
I'm done. I'm done.
Well, thanks for listening, guys. Don't forget to rate us 5 stars and subscribe. Tell your friends. Kelsey, where can the people find you?
At Kelsey Darrow on all the things.
Garrick.
And at Garrick Bernard on Instagram. Garrick Wasekin on Twitter.
I'm at Corn Diddy. But what mean the most is tell your friends. Also, once The Rock joins the franchise, shit goes off.
We're not. Get this to a million subscribers so we can go to Florida.
He's only good in one of them because Vin was intimidated and wrote him out of the franchise.
Oh my God, I'm leaving.
All right, we'll see you next time. Bye.